Hello and welcome to the All the Things podcast. I'm your host, Sophia Merlot, and each week I'll be joined by a guest to help me deep dive and learn all the things in their expertise. Hello everyone, and thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the All the Things podcast. As always, I'm your host, Sophia Merlot, and this week it's actually going to be a solo pod. So although I love having guests and conversations with different people and different perspectives, this is our 20th episode. So even though we only have a short amount, we have a long way to go, 20 felt like a milestone to me. As I'm sure you can tell from the title, this episode is going to be all about fitness and health, a little bit of wellness, but more so fitness. Sometimes those words get interchanged, but in my perspective, there's still a big difference between what is fitness and what is wellness. But all those things have been a huge part of my life and are my passion since I was so young, which we'll get into more in this episode. But this is something that I really wanted to share on the podcast. One of the main reasons why I wanted a podcast in the first place was to share my mistakes or things that I've gone through and hopefully be able to help people avoid those, or if they're going through them currently, work through them in a quicker way than I did. So this episode is also close to home, so I thought it was fitting for a kind of milestone-like episode. So before we get into the five things I wish I knew before I got involved with fitness or in the fitness industry, working out, however you want to phrase it, I want to give some backstory. So first, I was very, very young. I think my earliest memory was being in grade 2, honestly, when I first became health conscious. Before that moment, I would still consider my family, my parents, to be health conscious. We ate healthy meals. My brother and I participated in sports. But I was a very chubby, overweight young kid. And I realized that at a young age, even as young as kindergarten, like 4 or 5 years old, that I was different than my friends who were smaller than me and was always uncomfortable with my weight. As I went on through my fitness journey, I became also at the other end of the spectrum, and there was a time where I was too skinny, and now I've made my way back in the middle where I think I have a much healthier balance of food, body, exercise, everything combined. But I think being at both ends of the spectrum and now meeting in the middle, I can understand people's feelings no matter where they're at on their fitness journey. I'm not going to use this episode to go in depth of my entire fitness journey and where I'm at now, but please let me know if that's something you guys would be interested. Especially this last year, I worked with a professional coach. Shout out to Kerrigan Pike. She's in Houston, Texas. We worked remotely with each other. That was great. I've done a variety of different workout plans. I've really spent this last year building on muscle, repairing my metabolism, doing a reverse diet, and now reaching more aesthetic goals that I feel like I've really worked on my inner health goals and reached those. But again, I'm no professional. This is just my opinion. This is just my experience. But let me know if you'd like to hear more about that side of my story. Today, though, I would like to give you my five tips of things I wish I knew before I got involved in this entire thing called fitness. So the very first thing I wish I knew before I began my fitness journey was there's no such thing as good or bad foods. I know this might seem really contradicting to what a lot is posted on social media by different gurus. I truly believe that you can take two health experts, but in different fields. So one might be a pro keto, one might be a pro plant-based person. You could give them a carrot, and one person might say that is the best superfood, health food ever. You need to add that to every meal. And the other person could be saying, well, that actually has a certain type of vitamin A or vitamin C that contradicts the cellular formation in your body. I'm making all this up. But I think every body has a different diet that works best for their body. I think moderation is a great thing, but it's also a hard thing to nail, and that's where a lot of people also go wrong. It's not because of one food or eating one type of food one time that they didn't see results or that they felt gross or that they had results. It's being consistent in eating healthy. I deem healthy foods as nutritionally dense and maybe having less of calorically dense foods. So a healthy food could be a mix of proteins, fats, carbs, and a variety of nutrients. So having a Buddha bowl, or what I like to call a Buddha bowl, where you have some sort of leafy, dark greens, whatever you prefer. Even right there, people will say that kale's bad for you because of the type of vitamin K it produces. But again, I think some leafy dark greens of your choice, add that in. Add in some good carbs, so maybe some potato, sweet potato, quinoa, farro, whatever you digest best and you find yummy, add those in. Add some protein, your plant-based, some tempeh. I tend to opt for chicken or some type of fish, usually salmon or tuna. Again, that's what I prefer, what I feel my body works best on, what my digestion is best on. And then round all that out with some fat. So maybe it's avocado or maybe a dressing, some olive oil, some tahini dressing. Up to you what you prefer. A lot of this comes down to knowing your body, what makes you feel best, and avoiding what makes you feel like crap. And all this is easy said and done. It sounds great over a podcast when I'm just talking to you. But maybe after that, then you're like, you know what would be really good is some sweet. And that's okay. If you want that, then go grab it. But here's the thing. You can grab a piece of chocolate or a donut or whatever that something sweet is for you, if that's what you're craving after. But again, here's where moderation comes in. You're not a bad person, or you're not wrecking your progress if maybe your goal is to tone up a little or just to be more mindful of what you're eating, it because one day you have a donut after that meal. No, maybe if you had 3 donuts after, and that's an everyday thing, or if you have a donut every single day, then maybe I'd say, do you really need that? Is that the best choice for you? Could you have one twice a week instead? You're still getting a balance. You're not restricting yourself, but you're being more mindful. Again, it's not a bad food, but it may not make you feel your best if that's what you're eating for a large portion of your caloric intake every single day. When things start to feel restrictive, or you begin having a fear of eating a certain food, then that is not a healthy place to be. I know for myself, again, when I was very young, my nightmares would be like me having a cupcake. And that sounds so messed up because it is, but that's the place where I got to. It was almost a game with myself of how long can I go without having any quote unquote bad foods. So my wish for you listening out there, if fitness is something new to you or you're wanting to begin a fitness journey, is to not go into it with, I can only eat these foods that I deem as good or clean and have to avoid these foods that I deem bad as much as possible. You still have to enjoy life. Some of those foods that might be on your bad list or that are more calorically dense are also delicious. They're great to share with a loved one. You can form memories over them. And again, everything in moderation. There's a thing called balance, and it's hard to get to, but I encourage you to strive for that. The second thing that I wish I knew way, way, way earlier on was that you need to lift them weights, girl. When I first started actually working out outside of dance or any other kind of sport, it was just running. And again, I looked at it as something to burn calories because I became very aware of what a calorie was or what macros were. Again, this is at like 8 or 9 years old, people. Like, this sounds crazy as I'm recounting it, but this is what I've known for so long. And I thought that to reach what my goals were at the time, and then this progressed again throughout my tweens into teens, was that you need to do cardio, and cardio was the only way to reach those goals. And I was so wrong. I think it was about grade 9 and then grade 10 where I started doing some weights, first just in my home basement with some dumbbells we had, and then actually going to a gym to lift weights. But I don't think it was even until really my first year university where I really began a plan and walked into the gym and I had a split of what I was doing. This might not be the ideal way for you to work out. You have to find what works for you. But from going from just running literally 8 miles a day, 5 to 6 days a week, to almost nothing for cardio and forcing myself not to get on a machine to lift weights. And I've had spurts of including cardio because it really clears my head, and then of really focusing on lifting weights, but being strategic with my cardio, not just using it because I felt like I had to maintain my shape. But I wish I knew the importance of it, not just for your physical aesthetic, but for your physical well-being in general. It's so good for your body. And the older you get, the harder it is to form and maintain that muscle, but the more you need it. And there's a fine line because you don't want to start lifting weights too early. I do want to say that because you want to make sure you're performing lifts correctly and not lifting anything that's too heavy for your current size or age, or then using improper form. But if you're interested in starting a fitness journey, I know it might be easy just to step on the treadmill at the gym. The first time I ever went to the gym, I didn't even go in. I think my mom will remember this. Something was wrong. Again, I think it was like my treadmill. My treadmill at home was broken. I learned how to fix the treadmill at about 12 years old because my tread would run out so fast. But I was so intimidated to go into the community gym that I just like had a panic attack in the car and we went home. I wouldn't go in. But so I think people feeling overwhelmed going in, they just go to a cardio machine that they know how to use. Don't be afraid to look stupid. I can guarantee a lot of the people in there are just looking at themselves. If not everyone in there is just looking at themselves. If you take a few minutes figuring out how a machine works, adjusting it so you feel comfortable, or doing something at the lightest weight, who fucking cares? Honestly, who cares? What's the worst that's going to happen? In that scenario, the worst thing that can happen is there's some asshole who's like, how many reps you got left, and makes you feel pressure. Fuck that guy. Like, no, you don't need to deal with him. Someone, if they ask how many sets you have left, say how many sets you got left, or I'll be about 5 more minutes. They'll be like, cool. They'll go to another machine. End of day, you get a great workout and you kept your proper form. So it might sound easier said than done, but if you haven't set foot in a gym for a very long time, I know with the pandemic too, gyms were closed. Maybe you haven't gone back in since. That's okay. Do it because you know it will make you feel better, not because you're punishing yourself. And don't be afraid of feeling stupid in the gym. No one is looking at you. And if they are looking at you, stare at them back and then they'll feel uncomfortable and stop looking at you. The third thing I wish I knew before starting my fitness journey was the importance of mobility and stretching. When I first began going to the gym and working out and whatnot, I was still dancing a lot, still competitive dancing. So stretching was already part of my daily routine, both at the studio and at home, because flexibility was one of my main goals. I am not naturally flexible at all, so I really had to work at the flexibility I did have. I said I did because this is something I'm trying to regain now. I'm 22 and I already sound like the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz. My back cracks so much. I have low back pain. I have knee pain. This is not a good thing. This is because even after a few solid years of weightlifting, I neglected stretching and rolling out and mobility. And now I'm starting to really understand, oh my God, I made a huge mistake in prioritizing those things. I've started incorporating yoga, and even within a few months have noticed a positive change and improvement. But if you're just starting or in the middle, wherever you are on your fitness journey, please, please, please start incorporating a stretching routine. It can only be 5 minutes before or after or both of your workout. It doesn't have to take a whole lot of time. I know a lot of gyms are still on a time-restricted workout time. That was one of my biggest issues and excuses for not stretching, because I felt I only had an hour and 15 minutes to fit everything in. And I always said, oh, I can stretch at home. And guess who never fucking stretches at home? This girl. This dumb girl. But now that is starting to change. And I really encourage you to do that. If you don't know where to start, honestly, just Google 5-minute stretching routine on YouTube. And there's so many things that come up. I think I've talked about her before, but someone who I love is Boho Beautiful on YouTube. She has a great mix of super simple, super quick routines all the way to full-on yoga classes for free. I really suggest you checking her out if you don't know where to start, but even just setting a timer on your phone or putting a few songs on, making a playlist, and starting some gentle stretches, again, some hip openers, stretching your hamstrings, doing some figure fours, pigeon stretches, moving your arms around. just something and start forming that as a consistent keyword being consistent routine. I think this is going to have to be a multiple part series because I was going to do just five, but I have so many more things that I wish I knew. So this whole episode is just going to be part one. But the fourth thing I wish I knew before starting a fitness journey was that progress is not linear. I'm not exactly sure where it's from, but there's a quote that I really relate to that I think you guys will get value out of, and that is, action creates motivation. In regards to fitness, I think this is so true when you begin to see progress. So whatever your goals are, if it's feeling better, if it's looking a certain way in the mirror, whether that's losing or putting on weight, when you start to see some change, you become more motivated and more motivated. But if all of a sudden that progress stops or you don't start noticing a positive change or you even go back a little bit, it almost creates this like fuck it mindset, which is not good. But I know I've experienced myself. It's almost like if someone who's been super restrictive on a diet and then they have a taste of, I don't know, a super sugary food, then it's easy for them to get in this mindset of, well, I've already had this, so I might as well have the entire thing. And no, that's not true. There's going to be times on your fitness journey where you feel like you've made such great progress, you're killing your goals, and then all of a sudden that comes to a stop. Understand that that's normal. It doesn't mean that you're failing. It doesn't mean that you're doing everything wrong. It just means that maybe your body needs a bit of a break. Maybe that means you need to take a week off of the gym or increase your calories. Or maybe that's a sign that you need to be a bit more honest with yourself if you're tracking your macros or something and really looking at, are you tracking as accurately as you need to be to reach those goals? It's almost like a meme now, but there's a chart and it's like what people think success looks like, and it's a straight line all the way to the top. And then it goes what it actually looks like, and it's a bunch of squiggly lines, and it charts up and it charts down, but eventually in the end, it goes in the right direction. And that's the same with fitness. There's going to be times when life happens, you can't reach your goals, everything you want to for a week or a month, but then you get back on track, whatever that looks like to you. Again, I don't want me saying back on track or progress in your mind to be losing weight or toning up. It's whatever that looks like to you and your health. But it's okay if every week isn't perfect. That's going to be part of it, as long as the grand scheme of things are consistent. One side note I think is important to add here is that you're not a bad person, or it's not inherently bad to have goals that reflect aesthetic either with your body. I know bodybuilding and body competitions can be really controversial. I'm not saying I'm in full support or looking to do that either. I think your health should always come first, but in a world where everything has to be so sensitized and people have to be so cautious what they say, I still think, like, I even have personal aesthetic goals that I'm trying to hit right now, but I don't think that makes me an unhealthy person or spreading a bad message or a bad person. I think it's okay that if you're at a healthy weight and you'll still be at a healthy weight at a lower or higher number, to try and hit those numbers and push yourself or give yourself a challenge if that will make you feel more confident, or if you know you need to make yourself a bit healthier, or if you just want to challenge yourself and see if you can do it. I think that's also okay, as long as you're doing it a healthy and sustainable way. I just wanted to add that in there too. My fifth and final thing for this episode that I wish I knew before starting my fitness journey is the importance of a good sleep routine. Generally speaking, I think sleep is so underestimated in terms of how it impacts our health in general and longevity, but also our performance, our decision-making skills, and our actual function, whether that's at work or at school or, of course, in the gym. I think sleep often gets neglected. This is also coming from personal experience. If you haven't yet, check out my episode with Abby Varigan. We kind of go into this and talk about hustle culture and how that impacted our fitness and wellness journeys too. But I think that's so true. There was a saying like, you can sleep when you're dead, and 5 a.m. club, and there's some truth to you are going to sleep when you're dead, but I personally try and get up at 5 or 5:30 a.m. to get my workout in during the day, and that's when I can get it in. But with that said, I also really work at going to bed a whole lot earlier than I did when I could sleep in longer, so I still get the same amount of sleep. And it's hard, and there's so many things with social media and our phones keeping us up or watching Netflix or just wanting that time alone at night to decompress and chill. But understanding why you have trouble sleeping or when you're going to be tired, what a good amount of sleep is for you, is, again, it's so underestimated. And the quicker and sooner you figure out what works for you and establish and work on those habits of having a good sleep routine, not only is your fitness journey going to improve, but your overall well-being will skyrocket. And it gets so neglected. You guys, we need to sleep. I think my prediction for 2022 is sleep and sleep brands are going to be a huge trend. And if any of you want to partner with me, you guys heard it here first, I'm welcome to it. I'm promoting all the good sleep here. And with that, we've rounded up the five things I wish I knew before starting a fitness journey. If any of these resonated with you guys or you got value, please let me know on my latest Instagram post. That is at All The Things The Pod on Instagram, or you can leave us a review and let us know your favorite part of this episode on Apple Podcast reviews. A 5-star review would also be so appreciated. You guys, it really helps build our community, grows the podcast. I will love you forever if you do. We do have a few reviews so far, so thank you to everyone who's left a review. Or if you just want to connect with me, you can send me an email at allthethingstheblog@gmail.com. Check out our website at allthethingstheblog.com. Or just reach out to me again on Instagram. And if you missed it the first time, that is at allthethingsthepod. Again, let me know if you want a part two. I could probably do like 5 parts to this series. I'm not even kidding. I would love to do more. Let me know your thoughts, and I hope you guys have a great week, a great day, whenever you're listening to this, and I'll talk to you soon.